We're going to be in Ruth today. Try to finish up at least partway through chapter 3, and then we'll probably... Seems the more you look at God's Word, the longer you can spend at a scripture, you know, as the Lord speaks to your heart and whatnot. But God's good. All the time, right? The flood relief, Bob kind of filled in on that. Two, I think Magdalena's got you still got the sheet out there for emails and all that stuff. We're going to try to get a prayer chain together so that we can pray for each other. So if you want to give us an email address and whatnot, we want to pray together for things as the Lord leads us. So please, updated information too. If you have a cell phone on there too, maybe just indicate whether you like text or not. I text a lot, so if something comes urgent that we just need to get before the throne of God, we want to throw it out there. If you want text, just put TXT by the number. It's fine. Just to indicate that you're accepting those. I don't want to burn up your bill and getting too many texts. So, all right. Well, it's good. You know, it was funny last night. I was watching a place. You know, as we were kidding this morning, because it's a little cooler than normal in here. You know, you go probably from one extreme to the next, right? But how thankful we are that we have a building with a roof on it, with windows, pretty windows. With a sides on it that keeps us out of the elements, per se. Because I was watching a special last night just on, they were building churches over in third world countries, and they're happy to have a roof. You know, nothing about sides and all that stuff. Just something to keep the rain from trickling in on them. So how thankful I am that we can have the... Well, my mouse disappeared, so that's a good thing. So maybe this is if the Lord wills here. Yep, my mouse is gone. That's okay. Maybe this is for you. As we go through the scriptures this morning, we have all good intents, don't we? The Lord prepares the heart, right, to challenge us. We have all the, you know, I could have printed out the notes, but for whatever reason, the Lord spoke to me and said, don't print out the notes yesterday and use the PC. And so I did. I was obedient. So listen up. Maybe the Lord's got something good here, you know. So, but last week when we talked about Ruth in chapter 2, we had... We had just talked about that we needed to be in the Lord's field. You know, as she went out into the field of Boaz, and Boaz is the type of Christ we look at. We look at that and we say, well, we need to be in his field. You know, and there's so many times that we have a tendency of putting one foot into his field and one foot into the world. We got to be careful that we don't do that in the sense that that we get distracted. You know, the Lord calls us into the world for a purpose of telling others about Christ. You know, he does that with a heart that he would save. He would save folks. You know, and so. The one thing we left off was, hey, let's go out of here. Make sure that our feet are in the Lord's field and that we're there in his field. Because in verse 16 of chapter 2, he says that he wants to, that he purposely blessed her. You know, and what an awesome thing that God would purpose to bless us. You know, when we're outside his will, he's having a hard time blessing us because we're not listening to him. We don't know he's there. So we need to be within the Lord's field. And we need to stay there, and we need to stay close to Him every day and all day. We need to make sure that our feet are planted in His field. We need to be there until the harvest is complete. And when is that? Well, that is when the Lord comes back for us. You know, that then we know for sure that the completion of His plan is done, and we can go on from there. You know, we can go to heaven and it's done. We don't have to worry about that anymore. But as we are on this earth, we need to be planted in His field. No excuses. Let's not get outside His will for no other reason. But in chapter, as we pick up in chapter 3, Naomi, it says, "Then Naomi, the mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?'" I think this is the cry of a mother's heart, right? That we all want the security for our children. Even though she was a daughter-in-law, she said here, "My daughter." It was as if she adopted her in, you know, that she had a special place in her heart. Naomi did for Ruth. And she wanted that security, you know, but there is no security outside the will of God. There is no, as she would put it, security, but that word is really rest, you know, and in the Hebrew it is manoka, you know, and it means rest. It means, and it talks specifically about a marriage, right? About resting in a marriage. And as we look at our position in Christ, we are the bride of Christ. How do we find rest other than in that true relationship with Christ as He has designed it, right? As we know, the distortion of marriage today has been distorted, right? It's been distorted into something that it's not. We don't find rest in that. There's no peace in it. There's no security in it. But we find rest when we truly are in with the Lord, when we have that relationship with the Lord, and it's an awesome thing that we should experience. If you want to turn to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 6, I think it is. Now, if I can find it, because unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, the Lord has got my King James in my office, so we'll see if we can find this verse. Thank you, brother. We love you. Because I was looking at 11, I go, no, it's not there. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your soul." But they said, "We will not walk in it." So obviously, as Jeremiah was ministering here, and really the Lord was speaking to him, the nation of Israel was in a rebellious state. And I think the church could be in that rebellious state now, as we don't, we think of the new ways. There's new ways of doing it. You know, there's a lot of church growth pictures and strategies out there and all this stuff. But God says there's really one way to do this, and that is to stay faithful to my old paths that I've set before you, and that is His Word. You know, we shouldn't deviate from it. As Ruth was encouraged to stay in His field, to stay in Boaz's field, we are encouraged to stay in God's field, His only field. You know, John 4, 14 verse 6 says that I am the way, the truth. Right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh except through him. And it's truth, right? It's the truth, the life, the way. There is no other fields that we should be endeavoring into, but we should be in the Lord's fields, and we should be doing as he's asked us to do. And it's so easy to get sidetracked, right? Even though this morning it was funny because JP came in yesterday and we were chatting a little bit. And different styles of teachers, right? We're not Bob Coys, right? Though this morning I wish I was, because I'd be a lot warmer. My fingers wouldn't be numb. No, I'm just kidding. I got skinny fingers, so, you know. But the old style, but we're not to pick up any other style. We're supposed to look at the Word of God here, you know. It's not for me to be a Bob Coy or a Joe Foch or anybody other than Fred White, you know. And Fred White looking at the Scriptures the way the Lord wants us to look at them, you know. And so we're not trying to find a different program here in order to enlarge the borders of our church. That's not the point. The point is growth as individuals, you know, to sink our teeth into the Word of God and really stay on the path that he has created long before this day, long before we even got here this morning. The Lord had it all set in stone, all foundational. Foundation was set. We don't need to fix the foundation. We need to fix the building. You know, and that's us, the church, the body of Christ. So we need to search our hearts. Are we on the right path? Are we on them old paths that the Lord put us there? What's our answer to the Lord when the Lord says to us, get back on those paths? Maybe we've kind of wandered from them, and, you know, perhaps we need to get back on them. What is our reply to the Lord? No way, as Israel said, no way. Or is our response, yes, Lord, yes, I'm willing to do that. Now Boaz, in verse 2 of chapter 3 of Ruth, now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not your relative? And this is the kinsman, right? The nearest relative. Is he not somebody that you trust? In other words, is he somebody that's close to you, that you trust, right? I know that with me, we have our families, right? But then we have the family of Christ, the body of Christ, and sometimes we trust the body of Christ much more than we trust our blood family, in a sense. But here, it's saying, here's a relative, somebody that's close to him, somebody that you can trust. You know, you can trust Jesus. You can trust him day in and day out. He never puts you in circumstances that he doesn't give you a way out, an escape. You know, he loves you too much to put you in a predicament where you're overwhelmed. And, you know, the only reason why you're overwhelmed in a situation is really because why? Because we didn't call out to him. We didn't seek that rest that only he can give. So we need to be careful that if we trust him, that we certainly call out to him. And it says, in fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Well, obviously you know that when you have a field, there's a time of harvest, and in that time of harvest, you take in the fruit, or you take in the grain in this case. And this grain would go to this place called the threshing floor. And the threshing floor was devised in a sense to make sure that the wheat was separated from the chaff. And so the willingness for us to go to that threshing floor, the threshing floor isn't always the most pleasant thing for us to go there. But that's where the Lord is. That's where the Lord is. We got to understand that he is in that place the thrashing. You know, we were blown away. I think Bob could attest, you know, Ginny and Mike here could attest that last week when we heard the testimony of Mike McIntosh and about his life in the last few years, or 5 years probably, is it kind of blew us, a lot of us, away that we didn't understand. We thought he had it, you know, he had everything in order, and it was all, you know, everything went very smooth, but with him, he had a lot of tribulation in the last 5 years that took him to a point of even selling his home in order to recover some of the financials, you know, and he stuck with Christ even through it. And it's a great thing to hear a man of God like that testify that, hey, you know what, I went through these things, and perhaps he was on the thrashing floor and the Lord had to thrash and get the wheat separated from the chaff. I'm not sure. But that's what he does sometimes. And sometimes it's painful. Sometimes we lose people. People die through it even, you know. But we're to go to that thrashing floor. Why? Because we want to get the chaff out of there. The chaff had served its purpose, and now it's to be separated out of there. And on that thrashing floor, if you knew anybody that did any winnowing, what they do is they would take such as a, you know, we might take a fan today, but they would take something of, you know, they would wait until the wind was just right to allow it to work right and get that chaff out of there. But we had neighbors back home that they wanted to live off the land, so they would separate the chaff from the wheat. And I would see the kids out front, and it would be a windy day, and they'd be pouring that wheat down into another container, and the chaff would fly out of it. And it's kind of like us and the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit blows. And often when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of it as a wind. And it blows through us. Now we were able to shut ourselves up from it. We're able to not allow the Holy Spirit. We're able to grieve the Holy Spirit so that it doesn't work in our lives, so it doesn't blow those things out that we think are so important. But for the harvest, it's important that we get that out of there. Could you imagine making some bread filled with chaff? Probably wouldn't taste the greatest, you know. Same thing with our lives, you know. When our lives are full with chaff, it really doesn't taste and it doesn't benefit the Lord. And we're all here for the purpose of Him, for His glory. So let's get that chaff out. But the one thing that winnowing doesn't do is that it doesn't necessarily take everything that is bad out of that wheat. It takes the chaff out, the light stuff. But if you've got something that weighs about the same as the wheat, it'll fall just the same as that wheat. So there's another process where you got to take that wheat and you got to maybe get a little finer tooth comb and you have to weed through it. I remember our neighbors when they did it, you know, they would pour the grain and the chaff would fly out of there, and it was, okay, yeah, let's go make some bread. No, we can't do that yet. It's got grasshopper heads in it, and it's, you know, part, you know, a leg here and a leg there might not bother you, but, you know, you get too many grasshopper heads in your bread, that's too many eyes looking at you, you know, as you're trying to eat it. But it does make for crunchy bread, that's for sure. So sometimes there's things in our lives that we look at and they're heavy. They're like wheat. They portray to be, in a sense, if you're blind, they you wouldn't see them go in there, but they're there. And so there's certain things that we need to get with the Lord and allow Him to pick them out of our lives, you know. And that's a hard thing sometimes, to be on that threshing floor, to be in that position where we would go there knowing it might be painful, but we need to go there. Verse 3, therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating or drinking. You know, in the first portion of that verse 3 there, it says best garments, right? And if you'll notice, if you look in there closely, you'll see that it's in italics. So somebody placed that in there, but it really should read, put on your garment. You know, it doesn't have to be best. It doesn't have to be the best thing that you... You don't have to... Put it this way. You don't have to go in front of the cross already fixed. What you think is fixed. The Lord says, put on your garment and go. He wants you in there. He doesn't care how you look when you come in. Come as you are. Let it, just throw it onto the threshing floor. Let the Lord deal with it. Let the Lord fix you. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down. And he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. May that be our prayer to the Lord. Lord, you know, you've told us to go here. You've told us to be here. And I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. You know, I'll do whatever you want me to do. However painful it is, you change me, Lord, I'll just go. I'll just do it, you know. And so often do we have a temptation of looking at circumstances or situations and saying, well, we can't do that because economically we just can't afford to do that, you know. Or we can't do that because, Lord, I'm just not gifted in that area, you know. I'm just not able. My abilities just are so fall short, you know. And yet the Lord, he just asks us for a willing heart. Are you willing to go? You know, as we look at Binghamton, right, as we start to get organized, as we start to get prepared, and really it is a preparation, right, to going to Binghamton, is to sort them through them clothing and stuff and make sure what we're going to give somebody is worthy of being given, right? That it's in good shape, that we're not giving junk to them, that maybe sets them back even further, but we prepare, right? But as we get ready for Binghamton, you might think, well, I don't have much to offer, right? Pray again, because you're a God-created being that the Lord has created, that the Lord wants to use, you know? So I think however you participate in the Binghamton thing is really up to you. But just pray about it and pray and see what the Lord would have you to do to help others that are in need. Verse 6, so she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and laid down. You know that word cheerful there in the King James, it would say merry. He was merry, and that really translated means that he was excited and joyful for what was ahead. He was joyful for the future because, see, Boaz knew what was ahead, right? Just as our Lord Jesus, when he was going to the cross, when he was going to lay it all down for you and me, he was joyful in that. Because he knew the future. He knew that what he was about to do was going to give redemption to many, you know. And so here Boaz had that same joy, that same cheerfulness, that same merriness, you would say. And he lied at the end of the heap of the grain, the stuff that was profitable. He laid there because in those days you wanted to make sure that it stayed there, you know. After the thrashing was taken, after the winnowing had taken place, you want to make sure that, hey, you know, what we had harvested there, our profits would stay there, that nobody would steal it. right? So they would, the thresher would lay down at the, in a sense, at the side of the pile to protect. And you know, that's what he does for us. Jesus does that for us. He makes something profitable in our lives, and he gives us protection for that. His Holy Spirit protects us. Have you ever heard the voice of the Holy Spirit where the Holy Spirit said, you know what, you shouldn't be in this situation? And maybe it was a situation that was going to draw you away from him, you know, that was going to take you away from what he was doing in your life. And he said, you know what, you shouldn't be in that situation. And he started drawing you away. He started protecting you from that. You know, and that's our Lord Jesus, right? That's our Lord Jesus that just wants to, he wants to save us, and he wants to protect his savings, right? And that's really, in a sense, personal security. That is rest when we have Jesus resting there with us at what he has taken, what he has harvested. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid down. That's where we want to position ourselves. We want to position ourselves at the foot of the cross. We want to be there where the Lord would have us, you know, at his feet. And it came to pass at midnight, the darkest hour, right? And sometimes we experience this where it's our darkest hour, and that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet, and he said, "Who are you?" So she answered and said, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." So if you remember right, last week actually I shared with you a verse from Psalm 91:4. And it read, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." So the Lord covers us. You know, Ruth's desire was to be there. She wanted to be underneath the wing of the Lord. You know, our Boaz, we want to be under the wing of the Lord. We want to be there in that restful place. That's where we rest. And he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich." You know, she set her sights on the Lord, and she went after the Lord, you know. We need to go after the Lord, as she did. You know, she, if you remember back when they were in Moab, and she was pursuing Naomi, and she wanted to go with Naomi, and her reply was, "I'm going to follow after your God. I'm going to make your God my God." Remember that? What an awesome thing that we would follow after the Lord with all our hearts, that we wouldn't give in to the new way. You know, there's a lot of new ways out there. You know, you have the emergent church going on, that whole movement. You got the seeker friendlies. You got all that, but it goes back to that old path, right? The old path that the Lord has set thousands of years ago for today. It's not for thousands of years ago, right? I heard somebody at work say, "Well, you know," she was referring to her husband's parents, and she said, "Well, you know, they're kind of set in their ways, and you know, they think in that old mentality." Like there was something bad with that old mentality. That old mentality is good, according to, as long as it lines up with the Word, you know. If it's according to the Word, if it's according to what God tells us to do, that old mentality, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's what I want. I want that old mentality of the Lord. He's old and he's wise, much wiser than I. You know, the good thing about the Lord has seen everything, right? So when you go to seek wisdom from somebody, usually I don't go seek wisdom from Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan, what do you think we should do today? Right? Right? And his first thing will be a balloon. You know, maybe we should go get some balloons. You know, but no, we seek wisdom from older folks, right? People that have been around the block a little bit. Hey, what do you think on this, you know? If I go to seek some business answers, you know, I don't go to some greenhorn just out of college. I go to somebody that's been around the block a little while, that's experienced maybe some lows and some highs, and I go to that person seeking wisdom. Well, that's what I do with the Lord, too. Who do I go to? The one that knows it all, that's seen it from the beginning, and will see it through until the end. That knows the beginning from the end. So that's who we go to. Verse 11, and now, my daughter, do not fear. Do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. So, wouldn't it be an awesome thing just to be in a place in our walk with the Lord? That when we sought Him, we knew that, hey, He's just going to do it. You know why? Because we've been this virtuous bride, I would say here. Because of, you know, not just the context says woman, but it's for men too. You know, we need to be virtuous too, and to be in that position that, hey, you know, everything that we go to the Lord for, He just says, I've got an answer for you for that. That we don't go amiss and we just say, hey, you know, we could use that Cadillac. We could use that Cadillac, or we could use that toy, or whatever the case may be. Right? But we go there with a pure heart. This morning I want to take a look at Proverbs 31. I know that many times, you know, the ladies will use this text and in her studies, and it's an important text for the woman as we strive to have godly wives and marriages. It's 31, Proverbs 31, and it's an important text, right? But it also is meaningful for us men too, or as Christians, really, that we would look at this in the eyes of that we are the bride of Christ. And we want to get to the point in our relationship with the Lord that it's virtuous. Verse 10 there says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. You know, I wanted to read you something this morning, but I'm going to take it off the top of my head and see if we can decipher that. But rubies, more precious than rubies. And rubies, the reason why they're precious is they're rated on the redness or the purity of the stone. And they're one of the four most precious stones that you see, right? Them, sapphire, emeralds and diamonds, they're the four precious stones. And so when we look at rubies, what makes them valuable but their redness, you know, and we think of the redness in the blood of Christ and how that's what makes us precious, right? We are nothing without Him. We are nothing without Him. Can't be used by the Lord without Christ in us, you know, to the satisfaction of how He created us, right? He created us with a purpose. And with Christ within us, that redness, that blood that He's spared for on our account, that's the starting point of this whole text here. Far above, we're more precious than rubies. And within rubies, there's this element called chromium. And chromium makes kind of the shine you think of chrome bumpers and stuff like that, but it's the part that makes the ruby stand out, you know, and it's shiny, just as we are with Christ, right? But it's that additive of chromium that we're able to actually appear as if we're precious, right? And then there's a processing that's done, and I don't know the name of the processing, but the processing that's done that actually takes the streaks out of the stone, and it makes it a little more clear. Takes the lines out of the stone, and people that are familiar with rubies could pick up a ruby and tell you that one's been treated. So it makes it more precious. Just as us, you know, we need to have the Lord take out some of the streaks in us. He needs to purify us if we're going to be this virtuous bride. It's an awesome position to be in, that we have all we need. We have all we need in order to be this virtuous bride of Christ. You know, but you know what? We don't take advantage of it. We don't take advantage of the purification. The Lord says if you come and confess your sins to Him, He's faithful to forgive. But we don't do that enough. We wander around. We try to figure things out for ourselves. We try to correct situations that we're in. But somehow we don't ever take advantage of those, the power that's in Christ to be purified. Verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her. So, can the Lord trust you today with what He's given you? You say, hey, you know, I safely trust you with what I'm giving you. You know, he gives you a little, and then He starts giving you a little bit more as He sees that He can trust you. Can He trust you today? He safely trusts. Verse 12, it says, she does him good and not evil. Her mindset, her heart set is that, hey, you know what? I'm the bride of Christ, and I'm going to represent Christ the best I can. My intent is to do good for Christ, is to show His goodness. Are we there? Are we showing His goodness? Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. You know, sometimes her hands hurt. She's worked so much that there's no complaining. She comes and she just pours it out to the Lord and willingly works. She doesn't grumble and say, well, somebody else should have done this for her. I wouldn't have to do this if somebody else had done what they were supposed to do. Right? That's not her attitude. Her attitude is, Lord, I wish I could serve you even more. I wish I could do more for you. I wish my hands were bleeding. They're sore now. I wish they were bleeding for you. Are we willing to do that? And that's a challenge for us. I want to skip a few of these and just go around verses here. But verse 13, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She's prepared. She's spent time with the Lord. She has prepared herself for what's ahead, for how the Lord's going to use us. So often we want to say, we just want to jump into the job. I remember getting out of college and saying, you know what, I want to be CEO. Right? But man, if you put me in CEO then, I would have destroyed the company. I probably would have destroyed it now, even my abilities, knowing my abilities. But you know, there's a time period there. You know, I worked for a while. I got a little bit more education. I went back and got another job, different job, a little higher up in the stream. I started working myself toward that mark. Now I don't want it at all. So just to let you guys know, you're stuck with me. Sorry. But she girded herself with strength. What does a Christian do? They apply themselves. They take time with the Lord. They start getting into the scriptures. They pray more. You know, one thing I did learn from the pastor's conference is this church has got to pray more. And I think that was something that the Lord spoke to every pastor there. You know, it's a common theme, right? We have to pray more. There's something about it. It's one of the last things we consider, you know. We get the text right. We study the word, and and we're going through the whole preparation of for Sundays or for Wednesdays or Thursdays or whenever we teach. We do the outreaches. For us, we get the clothes together. We get the time set with Samaritan's Purse, and we say, we're going to get there at this time. We get all these preparations, but our preparation really should be in prayer foremost. Everything that we do, are we considering going, you know, if you have a chance, you know, I know that we've got the MP3s here, but if you have a chance, listen to Pastor Bill's teaching on going fishing. Are we going fishing without praying? We're just going to, man, we got to catch some fish. Are we praying? Are we seeking the Lord and asking, making sure that we're in the right lake, right stream, right river? You know, are we doing those things? So she girds herself with strength. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. You know what? She looks at her stuff and she says, none of this is mine anyways. Right? It's all of the Lord's. So if it's all the Lord's, well, it's a lot easier to give somebody else's stuff away than to give your own self. So I'd challenge you today and say, you know, my house is the Lord's, my car is the Lord's. And you'll find when the Lord asks you for them that it's a lot easier to give them away because they're His. You know, I have a lot easier time saying, you know, Don, give me your checkbook and I'll write some checks for you to, you know, buy some stuff for myself. You know, I'm easier. I can spend somebody else's money a lot faster than I can spend mine, right? Don't worry, Don, I'm not going to do that. Praise the Lord. You know, and it's, you know, we got to get to that point where, hey, you know, everything's His. We don't have a tight rein on anything. That's where we want to be. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the times to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She's kind. She thinks before she speaks. You know, she purposes in her heart, you know, when this situation occurs, this is my response to it, you know, a godly response. She watches over the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. She doesn't sit still. She doesn't wait and wait and wait. You know, we use that sometimes for an excuse too. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord, you know. The Lord's already told you to go. I'm just waiting on the Lord. Bread of idleness. Just hanging out, doing nothing, achieving nothing. But she's, you know, in that too, she's watching over her ways of her household. She's also putting others first. It's not about serving herself, you know. Her activities, her ambition is not about me. It's about, you know, serving others, serving the Lord. Then she gives, in verse 30, gives her of the fruit of her hands and lets her own works praise her in the gates. She doesn't even have to say a word, you know. She doesn't have to say a word. She just does it. Why does she do it? She does it because she loves the Lord, you know, as we should. Why do we do what we do? Why do we serve people the way we serve people? Are we doing it because I want to get some honor here? I want to get, you know, a pat on the back? Or do we do it because we love the Lord? People see through all that stuff, you know. They'll see the selfish ambitions, and they'll see through that. But here it says that you could tell her just it says her own works praised her in the gates. She didn't have to ask for the applause because people saw it. You know, so I want to encourage you this morning that to stay in the field of the Lord, right? As we said, you know, so often do we see that the other fields look a little greener? you know, and we want to pop into those, and then, well, we'll be back. But what happens, we get stuck in the mud, you know, we get stuck in the mud of the world, and we get stuck in the mud of that field, and all of a sudden, we're not back with the Lord. It takes us a while before we finally realize where we are, and we come back to the Lord. In the Lord, you know, and as we're in His field, you know, the next step is the thrashing ground, or the thrashing floor, where the winnowing takes place, and the stuff is blown out of our lives, and sometimes that's a hard place for us to go, but the Lord wants us there. And you know, Naomi, she wanted rest for her daughter, but there was no rest for her daughter in the world. It had to be in that field, upon that thrashing floor, and then it would produce this virtuous bride, right? It wasn't, how many times have you tried to do this, you know, Proverbs 31 thing, where you go, wow, I want to be just like that. I want to be just like that, right? So you try your darndest, and you really put it out there, right? But it doesn't work. You get so discouraged, and you're like, why doesn't this work? It's because you're not spending time in the field. You're not spending time on the thrashing floor. We got to do these things. If we're going to change, if we're going to be this bride that the Lord wants us to be, you know, and we got to take time, and, you know, sometimes prayer is painful, you know. We've all wept through prayer before, you know, as we're weeping over certain people, as we're praying for certain people, you know, it's a painful place sometimes, but we got to do it. It's part of the process in to becoming a bride of Christ that is profitable for Him. Right? I know all of us desire this, right? But we have to lay something down for this. There's chaff in our lives, there's them big chunks that look like wheat, but they're not really. They're just grasshoppers, you know. Are we willing to take the time to pick them out? Are we willing to get with the Lord to have Him show us sometimes those grasshoppers? Sometimes we don't even know those grasshoppers are in our wheat yet. They're there. We're kind of blinded to it. It's our sin. It's our sin nature. But how do we get to the place of Proverbs 31? Well, we gotta meet with the Lord. We gotta pray. You know, hey, I'm in it with you guys. I don't pray enough. You know, we got to pray more. We got to seek His advice. I was telling, I think it was JPI, me and Karen are doers. Guarantee you, if something needs to be done, we'll do it. Right? But it's not always the best way to do it. Right? It's always, you know, sometimes you're doing it, and as you're halfway through it, three-quarters of the way through it, you stop and you go, wait a minute, maybe I should ask the Lord about this. Maybe I should have sought Him just a little bit longer on this, you know. Right? Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will follow. It's the way it is, right? And we need to. So my encouragement to you today is that we put our trust in the Lord, you know, that He is our Redeemer, you know. He is that near kinsman, you know, where we can trust Him. We can trust what we say to Him, that He's going to have an answer for us, that He's going to hear us, that He's going to love us right to the end.